Teaching at Home and Church. Teaching by the Spirit by Lorraine Porter Gaunt, Associate Editor. Through prayerful preparation and inspiration of the Holy Ghost, teachers become instruments in the hands of God and help succor the weak, lift up the hands which hang down, and strengthen the feeble knees. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 81, Verse 5. Eight elders and two sisters greeted Lisa Ann Jackson as she entered a classroom at the Missionary Training Center, MTC, in Provo, Utah. A recently returned missionary and a teacher there, Sister Jackson was substituting that evening. Still filled with the strength and zeal she had gained through her service as a missionary in the England Leeds Mission, Sister Jackson greeted the class enthusiastically. Then, together, they began reading the Book of Mormon. One elder seemed to be struggling. His abundance of energy spilled out in the form of distracting comments. Eventually he asked, "Why did you go on a mission, Sister Jackson?" as if he thought she shouldn't have gone. "I hesitated to answer," remembers Sister Jackson. "We were on a tight schedule, and I knew my story would take far more time than we could spare. But the Holy Ghost prompted me to go ahead. I began by telling the class that I had received a powerful answer to my prayers about going on a mission, even though I wasn't anxious to go. Yet in spite of my hesitation, I couldn't deny the confirmation I had received. I told him about my own days in the MTC. I had had a poor attitude, but the Lord had been patient with me and helped me. I suggested that there may be others struggling as I had. Then, with tears streaming down my face from the gratitude and spirit I felt, I finished by telling them about my last day in the mission field. I had been very blessed with a wonderful mission, and I thought my heart would break as I said goodbye to those I had taught and loved." The rowdy elder became silent. The spirit settled in the room. We moved on to practicing the discussions in pairs. After class ended, the elder came up to me with tears in his eyes, shook my hand, and quietly said, "Thank you. My prayers have been answered tonight." His companion then took my hand and whispered to me, "Thank you, Sister Jackson. You have no idea what happened here tonight. Thank you." The missionaries left for the evening. I do not know what was said that helped that elder feel the Spirit, but I do know that the Spirit changed his heart that night, and I felt blessed to witness the Lord doing his work. Like Sister Jackson, we can prepare our minds and hearts to receive inspiration to teach. The Lord has said, "And the Spirit shall be given unto you by the prayer of faith, and if ye receive not the Spirit, ye shall not teach." Doctrine and Covenants, Section 42, Verse 14. As we teach the Word of Truth by the power of the Spirit, prayers will be answered, insights will be gained, and peace will fill troubled hearts. My grace shall attend you. Preparation is the key to successful teaching. To get ready to teach, we need to study the Scriptures and approved lesson materials and pray for inspiration. As we do so, the Lord will enlighten our minds by the Spirit of Truth. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 6, Verse 15. The Lord has promised, "Teach ye diligently, and my grace shall attend you." Doctrine and Covenants, Section 88, Verse 78. Charlene J. Steele of the Fruit Heights Fifth Ward, Fruit Heights, Utah Stake, tells of a time when the Lord magnified her efforts as a visiting teacher. "As I prepared my visiting teaching lesson, I asked Heavenly Father to plant His truth deep within my heart and mind by the power of the Holy Ghost. I knew that one of the sisters we taught had special needs because of a recent surgery. Before leaving, my companion and I knelt in prayer together and asked again for Heavenly Father to be with us during our visit. As we entered this sister's home, I quickly perceived that her physical needs were not as great as her need for emotional and spiritual strengthening. She cried as she talked. I didn't know what to say. A feeling of panic and inadequacy came over me. What could I say to help her? My immediate silent prayer was, 'O my Father, give me utterance according to her needs.' I opened my mouth and the words began to flow. As we talked and discussed the lesson, the Spirit of the Lord adapted what I had studied to meet her personal needs. I was amazed. I had never had such an experience. The time went swiftly, although we were there for more than an hour. After sharing an embrace, we left. My joy was full in teaching the truths of the gospel that day. Both are edified and rejoice together." Maximum blessings come when both teacher and student prepare themselves to receive the Word by the Spirit of truth. Therefore, why is it that ye cannot understand and know that he that receiveth the Word by the Spirit of truth receiveth it as it is preached by the Spirit of truth? Wherefore, he that preacheth and he that receiveth understand one another, and both are edified and rejoice together. Doctrine and Covenants, section 50, verses 21 and 22. Aaron taught Lamoni's father to prepare to receive the Spirit. If thou desirest this thing, if thou wilt bow down before God, yea, if thou wilt repent of all thy sins, and will bow down before God and call on his name in faith, believing that ye shall receive, then shalt thou receive the hope which thou desirest. Alma chapter 22, verse 16. As a teacher in the church educational system, Ralph E. Rigby of Salt Lake City tried to make his spiritual preparation as important as his other preparation for daily lessons. The Spirit can teach, he says. It can also touch hearts, change attitudes, and bear testimony of the principles being taught. But when students are prepared and receptive to the Spirit, great things happen. Now retired, Brother Rigby recalls an experience he had while teaching religion class at Brigham Young University. It wasn't really unusual for a student to drop into my office, especially a student who was expecting his mission call in a month or two. But this student's reason for dropping in was unique. The student began by saying, "I thought you would be interested in knowing how your class has helped me. I enjoyed studying the Book of Mormon, but I also had some problems I needed help with. So I came up with a plan. I wrote down a question for each class period. Then I prayed about the question and went to your 7 o'clock class." The young man showed me the questions he had written down. 30 questions, 30 class periods, 30 answers. I noticed that many of the answers to his questions had nothing to do with the material I had been teaching. But this student had sought the Lord in prayer and had come in faith to my class expecting the answers. And he had received an answer to every question. I realized that the Spirit had led him to find the answers to his questions. All may be edified of all. Teachers should encourage class members to participate, teach, and edify one another. This enables them to benefit from each other's gifts, knowledge, and experience. Appoint among yourselves a teacher, and let not all be spokesmen at once, but let one speak at a time, and let all listen unto his sayings, that when all have spoken, that all may be edified of all, and that every man may have an equal privilege. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 122. Elizabeth Friend of the St. Peter's Ward, St. Louis, Missouri, North Stake, remembers such an experience which took place during the first gospel doctrine class she taught. "We were studying the life and words of Job," says Sister Friend. "As the class discussed the afflictions of Job and the accusations of his friends, I asked, 'Are trials and affliction in this life God's punishment for our sins?' It was a delicate question. In the class sat a young couple who had recently lost a baby through unexpected and tragic circumstances. Both husband and wife looked up, the fire of faith in their eyes. With great emphasis, this sister bore her testimony that adversities in our lives are blessings rather than punishments and enable us to grow stronger and have greater faith in the Lord. As she spoke, the Spirit bore witness of truth of her words. Those words strengthened the rest of the class. By their fruits. When we teach true principles by the Spirit, and when class members are spiritually receptive, we can expect significant results. The Savior taught that, "By their fruits ye shall know them," Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Those who are touched by the Spirit bear witness of the good fruit available to all who seek it. "One evening I was sitting in a stake mission leadership meeting," says Samuel D. McVeigh of the Salem 9th Ward, Salem, Utah, West Stake. "At the close of the meeting, the speaker said 9 words that changed my whole attitude. 'Brethren,' he said, 'never underestimate the motivational power of the Lord.' That was the key for me. The Spirit printed that statement on my heart, mind, and soul. I have applied that simple principle ever since with miraculous results. Now, before I give an assignment, I spend some time on my knees and ask the Lord to help motivate a certain person or group. A young seminary student wrote the following note to her teacher. I'd been taught the principles of tithing all my life, but today it was just like someone turned on a light in a dark room. For the first time in my life, I could see clearly the purpose behind tithing, and I really wanted to pay it. Bonnie Packer Hauber of the Fort Pierce Ward, Stuart, Florida stake, wrote the following testimony in her journal years ago as a young woman. I really felt the spirit today in Relief Society. When I was sitting in the room listening to the comments, I had a special feeling. I felt like Christ was there. I felt like His Spirit was with me. I love this gospel, and I'm thankful for it. I need to remember that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I don't know how to explain the feeling, but just knowing the Spirit was there and feeling the tears run down my cheeks, I knew I was in the right place. Words of caution. As we seek to teach by the Spirit, we should remember a few words of caution from President Boyd K. Packer, now acting president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Strong, impressive spiritual experiences do not come to us very frequently. Our classes do not have to have dramatic spiritual experiences every week to be successful. The Spirit often teaches very gently and quietly and is described as a still, small voice. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. It is not wise to continually talk of unusual spiritual experiences. We must be selective about sharing sacred experiences, or we may not be trusted to receive them. You cannot force spiritual things. As teachers, we cannot force spiritual experiences to happen. If we try to do so, we open the way to be misled. Be ever on guard, lest you be deceived by inspiration from an unworthy source. If we are not careful, we may find ourselves listening to the wrong source or misinterpreting our emotional impulses as spiritual promptings. In short, we need to put our trust in that Spirit which leadeth to do good, yea, to do justly, to walk humbly, to judge righteously, and this is my Spirit. Doctrine and Covenants, section 11, verse 12. Seek the Spirit. If we seek diligently to teach by the Spirit, Heavenly Father will help us. While in some instances we will know how the Spirit touched the lives of those in the class, many times we will never know how the Lord has used us as an instrument to answer another's prayers. Nephi felt his words were inadequate to teach others all the things he had learned from the Lord. But he knew that when a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it into the hearts of the children of men. 2 Nephi chapter 33, verse 1. As we prayerfully prepare our lessons, seek inspiration, and teach true principles, the Spirit will attend us. We will be able to invite the Spirit into our class and fill the needs of those listening through the truths of the gospel. Gospel topics: prayer, teaching by the Spirit, testimony. End of the article, Teaching by the Spirit, by Lorene Porter Gaunt, Associate Editor. Teaching at Home and Church, A Class Labeled Impossible, by April Ross. By using principles of love and showing interest in us as individuals, our Sunday school teacher taught us the gospel in spite of ourselves. When I was a young woman, our Sunday school class of 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds was full of mischief and wore out a number of teachers. Before our newest teacher arrived for class, chalk had been broken into tiny pieces and the eraser had been misplaced. A girl with bright red hair and matching freckles, who was watching for our new teacher, suddenly announced loudly, "Here he comes," as she scurried away from the door. A new teacher, who I had guessed was in his mid-20s, greeted us with a quiet hello and introduced himself as Brother Charrington. He and his wife were new in our ward, and they were staying only for the summer. I remember feeling surprised that the new teacher seemed so relaxed. Some past teachers had often acted tense and sat behind the desk, hiding behind a stack of materials. But Brother Charrington just smiled and leaned against the front of the table. We said nothing in reply to his greeting. With calm assurance, he asked us to introduce ourselves. I thought right then that he had made his first mistake. A few giggles escaped here and there as some called out false names. He seemed to accept them without a clue about the deception. I felt sorry for him. With a patient smile that we would all come to know quite well, Brother Sherrington asked a question of a girl sitting next to me. To our surprise, he used her real name, not the false one she had given. That was the first of many experiences that led us to expect the unexpected from our new teacher. The next Sunday, we were ready for him again. All the chairs had been moved into a far corner. When the teacher walked into the room, we were all staring at the floor. Our scheme was to sit huddled in the corner and not look up. Brother Charrington greeted us cheerfully. Then we heard the rustling of a paper sack and a few other noises we couldn't discern. I did the unforgivable and peeked, and so did others. Brother Charrington was arranging scrolls and brass-looking plates on the table. With a calm voice, he began talking about the Book of Mormon. He asked us questions from time to time, and before we knew it, we were all moved near him. By using principles of love and showing interest in us as individuals, Brother Charrington taught us in spite of ourselves. For a while, we seemed to start each Sunday with a trick or a prank, but pretty soon we would become wrapped up in an exciting lesson. Somehow, Brother Charrington became someone we could think of as a friend, because that was how he treated us. Under his tutelage, we began to see that the Book of Mormon was more than just a book. It contained messages for real life. Wading through adversity. Summer quickly passed, and Brother Charrington's last Sunday approached. The class decided to have a farewell party on Saturday at a nearby public pool. This was disappointing news for me. I decided not to attend because I didn't know how to swim, and I didn't want to be the joke of the party. When Saturday evening arrived, I settled down in front of the TV. To my surprise, Brother Charrington knocked on my door and said he was there to pick me up. I didn't explain why I wasn't going, but I'm sure he knew why. He seemed to realize that pushing me would only alienate me. However, before he left, he mentioned that his wife didn't know how to swim and would appreciate some company in the shallow end. I still wouldn't budge. The next morning at Sunday school, everyone talked of how fun the swimming party had been. Then Brother Charrington started his lesson, and it felt like he was speaking to me personally. He talked about how Nephi, with all his challenges, never gave up on himself or the Lord. How young Mormon rose up as a leader in difficult circumstances, and how at age 14, Joseph Smith sought the truth and endured many subsequent hardships. Brother Charrington explained that those young prophets hadn't started out by overcoming major challenges, but by facing smaller trials, such as going to a swimming party without knowing how to swim, I could imagine him saying. When the Lord is on your side, Brother Charrington said, it's okay to be yourself. After that, with each new challenge in my life, I found myself remembering what my Sunday school teacher has said, and then, summoning up more strength and courage to push forward, I came to realize that the Lord helps me as I help myself. To this day, I still use that formula in my life and try to instill it in my children. During that summer, when Brother Charrington was called to teach the class others had labeled impossible, he succeeded by lovingly remembering that we were just children of God looking for a place to belong. Gospel topics: love, patience, teaching. Note: April Ross serves as a Cub Scout leader in the Riverdale Ward, Preston, Idaho, North Stake. End of note. End of the article, A Class Labeled Impossible, by April Ross. Teaching at Home and Church. Helping Children Learn to Give Talks, by Shirley M. Call. By following a few easy steps, parents can help their children give family home evening presentations or primary talks in their own words. The visitor from the United States sat in the back of the small primary room in Peru. In many ways, it was like any other primary meeting around the world. A scripture was read, a prayer was given, young voices were raised in song. Then something startling happened. With no advance warning, the primary president looked around the room and said, "Juan, will you come forward and give one of our talks?" Juan walked to the front of the room, opened his scriptures, and ruffled through the pages until he came to a particular passage. He said, "One of my favorite scriptures is," and then read the passage and explained what he believed it meant, and how he and the other children could apply it. he concluded by bearing his testimony and returned to his seat. See Michaeline P. Grassley, What I Have Learned from Children, 1993, pages 67 to 68. Children can certainly benefit from reading stories for primary talks or family home evening presentations or repeating lines written by adults for sacrament meeting programs. However, as Juan showed, children can learn to speak from their hearts and in their own words. As they share their beliefs, the Holy Ghost can witness to them and their listeners of the truthfulness of the gospel. How can parents help children learn to speak about the gospel? 1. Parents can help children make connections between their experiences and gospel principles. When Stephanie was asked to give a talk about the Holy Ghost, her mother suggested she include a personal experience. Stephanie said, "But I haven't felt the Holy Ghost before." Her mother replied, "Remember when you and your friend Eliza were talking about a lesson you had in primary, and you later told me it made both of you feel happy to talk about things you learned at church? And remember one morning after we finished reading scriptures, when you kept your scriptures open and reread the passages we had studied? You said it made you feel warm inside." Stephanie, during both of these experiences, the Holy Ghost was testifying to you. Like Stephanie's mother, parents can assist their children in preparing talks by watching, listening, and discussing experiences in the context of gospel teachings. They can demonstrate how to use the topical guide and the index in the scriptures to find helpful passages or stories of others who have applied gospel principles. In so doing, parents enable their children to understand, as did Nephi, that the scriptures can be likened unto us, that it might be for our profit and learning. 1 Nephi chapter 19, verse 23. They also thereby show how gospel principles can influence and guide our everyday lives, and how personal experiences with these principles can be effectively used in talks. 2. Parents can allow for language skill limitations and the reluctance of children to express their own feelings. A man asked his 9-year-old daughter, Catherine, about what blessings she thought would come from going to the temple. With paper and pencil in hand to record the responses, he seemed intimidating to young Catherine. After squirming and trying to recall answers she had heard others give before, she finally asked, "Dad, can't I just tell you what I think?" "Yes, Catherine," he replied, "that is what I really want." There followed many wonderful thoughts about the temple from the heart of a child. Children's language skills are limited, so parents need to be patient as they gain experience. As parents discuss the gospel with their children, they can ask questions that invite more than yes or no answers and can give them plenty of time to respond. Some children are afraid that their expressions might be laughed at, so they are reluctant to share. They need to be reassured that their own thoughts are important as they give talks and bear their testimonies. Children should also be encouraged to tell stories in their own words. To help a child prepare for a talk, a parent can tell a story to a child, then ask the child to retell it. During that first retelling, mistakes will likely be made, and much of the story will not be included. Without criticizing, the parent can simply repeat the story, then invite the child to retell it. This can be a relaxed time of mutual enjoyment rather than a time of pressure to memorize adult words. 3. Parents can help older children learn to prepare talks independently. 11-year-old Jonathan was discouraged after being assigned to prepare a primary talk on reverence. His mother advised him to pray and ask Heavenly Father to help him understand reverence better so that he could effectively teach the other children. As the days went by, Jonathan prayed by himself and with his family. He remembered stories about reverence that he had heard at primary, and his mother helped him find the sources of these stories and suggested others. Together, they looked at the topical guide to find appropriate scriptures, and they talked about personal experiences they had had with reverence. Jonathan made choices about what material he wanted to use. In primary the next Sunday, he delivered an insightful and well-prepared talk with conviction. Parents can help instill confidence in their children by showing them how to receive Heavenly Father's direction as they prepare talks. Parents can also help by discussing relevant and personal experiences and by guiding their children to other useful resources such as church publications. When parents enable children to use their own skills in preparing talks, these skills are strengthened and, most important, young testimonies can grow. 4. Parents can help children learn the basic rules of expression. Liz, speaking at her mother's funeral, remembered the talent her mother helped her develop as a young girl. She said, "I stand here before you today as a result of the seed of expression she planted in me many years ago. She coached and nurtured me in preparing and delivering those early Sunday school talks, telling me, 'Stand up straight, slow down, and speak up so people can hear you.'" With gentle reminders and opportunities to practice, children can learn how to give talks so that others can both hear and understand what is being said. A small amount of time given at an early age can help a child develop a rewarding lifelong gift. The scriptures verify the value of listening to the words of children. Alma tells us that little children do have words given unto them many times which confound the wise and the learned. Alma chapter 32, verse 23. All of us are blessed when sweet children speak gospel truths. By giving encouragement and direction, parents can prepare children to serve the Lord by speaking His truths in their own individual ways. Gospel topics, preparing talks, primary, teaching children. Note, Shirley M. Call is a primary teacher in the Layton Second Ward, Layton, Utah, South Stake. End of note. End of the article, Helping Children Learn to Give Talks by Shirley M. Call.